Lord, we ask you that you use this time, Lord, that no matter what is spoken, that we focus on your word and keep it in the center of our lives. In your son's name we pray, amen. What is it that you say in this kind of week? In the staff meeting, that's when I first heard. And at first I kind of thought, okay, this, you must be joking, right? And then I thought, okay, some small incident has happened out west. And then I thought, okay, you know, what's your first impression when you think something has happened in Vegas? I mean, you really think about it, and Vegas has been known for its line, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. And my first impression is, what now, Lord, what now? And then it, about 4 or 5 hours later of seeing the carnage, you kind of, you have your hand on the remote, but for some reason it doesn't turn off. Yeah, day after day, the news has been nothing about Vegas, 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 Vegas. And at one point, you want to turn the TV off, but at the same time, you're engrossed in what has happened. And your mind kind of says, okay, Lord, you know, if I just shut it off, maybe I can just think to myself, it didn't happen. At the same time, you think of all the people that have been affected across the country. Even in this region, people have been affected. Minnesotans have lost their lives in Vegas. And so I just begin to wonder, looking at, you know, why? Why? Are we really going to know why? But that is the answer that we're all seeking. How can evil manifest itself so much into one person that he would attempt to do something like this and have no apparent wanting for other people's well-being? And I begin to wonder, well, is that just Vegas? Because when we think about Vegas, Vegas has a lot of things that happen there. And If you don't think about it, and if you shut it off your mind, then it doesn't happen. On the other hand, what about Wilmer? Can you even compare Las Vegas to Wilmer? This is a sleepy little town, isn't it? There's a reason why most of us call this place home. And in the last month, unfortunately, I've sat through some discussions with other pastors, with organizations, and unfortunately, when you sit through these meetings, there's no remote control that you can turn off what you're hearing. And so I just have this little clip I wanted to share with you, and I just wanted to get your first reaction here. Did you know that was happening here in Wilmer? This Wilmer's not a sleepy little town. Did you know that as you slept last night, that meant that somebody was abused here in this city? Someone under the age of 18 last night was forced to do something they didn't want to do. To me, I couldn't sleep last night, having to tell about this story. Through the work of some courageous people that they're rescuing people out of what they've had to do. We even heard of Alexandria, a gal from there who's held against her will, where she was locked in a room, and basically three guys abused her for unknown period of time. And I begin to wonder, you know, how can people really do this? How can evil still exist? Where's the remote control that I can just say, you know what, Lord, I don't want it to happen, so can I just pause? Can I just stop it? Can I just erase it from my memory? But that's not the case. Because no matter what time, no matter what day you turn on the TV, there is violence, there is evil. Let's just call it what it is. There's sin. Sin will be prevalent. Sin will be abounding in this planet until Christ comes. And the question is, well, when, Lord, when? How much more? And so if you would, get out your... find your worship bulletin and turn to the gospel lesson for me today. Because when we're talking about the Reformation, Luther had a small problem that drove him into the monastery. So when we're taking a look at this RE word this morning, this retribution. You see, in Luther's time, they would take Vegas and they would flip it and say, well, that must be God's vengeance on they must have done something wrong. And so they, at that time, that the church would say, well, that's God's wrath being poured out. And so Luther had a small problem, this small problem of, you know, if he had to earn God's love, then therefore what he was doing on a day-to-day basis that drove him into the monastery, it drove him on his knees to walk up the steps to feel the pain that he thought he had to feel in order to appease God's wrath for all the sin that he had committed. There was no one in all of Europe in those monasteries that spent more time in the confessional than Luther. Because if one wrongdoing of his remained unrepentant, then therefore God may have judged him. And so he dives into the scriptures. And when we look today at our gospel lesson, we look at two main verses. Number one, Matthew 21, verses 37 and 38. Let's read this with me. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, they will respect my son. But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and have his inheritance. So Jesus is speaking in a parable, which he's speaking about a story, but he's also talking about something that will come to pass and will always come to pass. He's talking about the earth and how Israel had been guided by the Pharisees and the chief priests, and how they had taken over Israel, and the religion that they were preaching was without God. And so they had taken and they had killed the prophets, and then now here comes Jesus as their prophet, and he is coming to make amends with those who have taken over, and what do? They take the son and they do what? They take him to a high hill overlooking Jerusalem, and on that hill he is crucified as he told them. And Jesus is murdered up on that hill because we would not do anything about that. And he prophesied to these guys that the chief priests and the Pharisees, he prophesied to them that you're going to kill me. They didn't like it too much, as you see in verse 45, when the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they perceived that he was speaking about them. Before the week was over, they had put him to death. And so when we take a look at what's going on here, is look at the way in which we've corrupted everything on this planet. And when we take a look at, okay, where would Luther go with this? How would Luther respond to this? And things happened in those days that were very similar to what's happened in this life. And so Luther would come about this, and I would say this. Luther found this word in Romans, this gift word. And so don't take a look at it as evil being existing in the world. Look at what God is doing through small things. Look at how evil is trying to get your attention through these mass killings, this mass violence. And yet, look at the stories that have been poured out of the actions that have led to even greater things. So what eventually leads into my head is, why does it take an act like this for people to respond? What if this was a weekly, a daily, a monthly, a yearly occurrence where the community poured out itself into others? Because there we find Christ working with us, not in these great shows of mass hysteria, but in the daily lives that God has given us. He works in and through us. You notice that last breath you took? Where'd you get it from? How were you allowed to breathe again? How were you allowed to talk to your loved ones even now? Whether it be their last time or maybe in the days to come. Do we see it as God's gift to us, that this amazing, awesome, sinless God has allowed us to stay here? Scripture teaches that whenever you have hated your brother, you've committed murder. Is there anyone in here who is not guilty of that? We are guilty of far more than anything that's happened in Vegas, and yet God still allows me to keep breathing. God still allows me, even though I've mass murdered everyone according to His word, in order to keep breathing and keep preaching His word. Preaching about how much God loves us, who went to the cross even though He knew it was to happen, in order for us to look on His name, in order to say, you know what, there is hope out there, and that hope is found in Jesus Christ, and that's where we find our hope, in the cross in which someone was murdered for us. So that whenever things happen in this world, we may point to the cross and not to the violence that happens. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we do not have many of the answers that we're seeking. We do not understand we don't understand why. Help us understand that, Lord God, evil and violence has existed since the fall. And Lord God, we are the ones who have taken over your vineyard, and Lord God, we are the ones who have disregarded your word. Lord God, help us as a congregation to build on that cornerstone, on that foundation of what you would have for us in your word. And Lord God, may that word be ever present. And most importantly, that, Lord God, your word says that your love is above everything else. Go with us, Lord. Lord God, it's difficult for us. But Lord God, through your word, through your love, may we find healing. In your son's name we pray. Amen.